This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Matt Wade's dropped in from Star Observer. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Did you bring your award in today?
No, I
international recognised star of the world.
Everyone keeps mentioning that as though I've just got it under my in my pocket and I just pull it out whenever I want to. Like, no, it's at home.
Sweetie, I carry my Logies on a chain. I tell you, you don't wait in a queue at DJs when you pull one of these out and whack it around. I mean, you'd get first queue at, like, the Laird, where to Wellington, you know, you pull out your Glow Award.
That's true. I should be utilising it more, you're right.
Absolutely. Now, the November issue of Star Observer is out.
Yes.
You've spoken to Robin.
Yeah, so she's our cover star this month, obviously because she just released her new album, Honey, which I believe was her first new album in maybe 4 or 5 years or something like that. So, I got to speak with her over the phone. I mean, she was in her Stockholm house speaking to me at like 7 a.m. in the morning.
Stockholm? Is that a real... I thought that was the syndrome you got when people lock you in a cupboard.
No, it's a real blank on Stockholm syndrome.
Hey, isn't that Robin's got me locked in the cupboard and I've got Robin's Stockholm syndrome.
That's right.
She spoke to me and she's really, really lovely, actually. She was just talking about how, I guess, for a lot of this past decade, she hasn't been feeling amazingly well. So I think that was why there was quite a bit of a break between albums. And so when she was making this new album, she really wanted to make music that would make her feel happy and kind of pull her out of that, I guess, sadder space. So it was actually quite nice and inspiring to hear. You know, a lot of people, stars always have to put on this kind of front and be like, we're amazing and independent and powerful, but she was quite vulnerable in the way and exposed in by saying that, you know, I actually wasn't feeling that great and I didn't really want to tour that much. I didn't want to be out in the public. I wanted to just retreat. So yeah,
it makes her real. Tom did that exactly. on the weekend at the races. He became quite vulnerable.
I did. Okay, see, now I get it, because when you're saying she's upset, I thought I'd be annoyed too if Batman stole my mobile, but it's a different Robin.
Oh, yes, yes. Different Robin. No.
World AIDS Day is coming up.
Yeah, so it's on December 1st, so I guess because our December issue will come out too late, I thought it would be good to kind of highlight some World AIDS Day kind of things in the November one. So we've covered a few different HIV and AIDS-related things. We've got a piece about serodiscordant couples, which are increasingly common, where I guess one half of the couple is HIV positive and one half is HIV negative. And it kind of looks at how quite often people that are in those kind of relationships are often... I guess, more sexual health literate than people that aren't, because I guess they have to be across it. They have to know how to, you know, navigate sex and sexuality safely. So I think a lot of people maybe in the broader community who aren't maybe getting tested as regularly or not taking care of their sexual health could take a leaf out of people that are in this kind of relationships.
It's a good article, and that's what it needs to be discussed, because it's something different, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's also interesting because, you know, people that are in those kind of relationships, they say, you know, they still face stigma from people even in the community saying, oh, you know, how can you be, for example, someone that's HIV negative, be in a relationship with someone that's HIV positive, because they just don't understand that, you know, these days, you know, if someone's HIV positive and they've got an undetectable viral load, they actually cannot physically transmit the virus. So it's,
it's all about your heart, isn't it? It's about your love.
Well, that's exactly right.
There's always going to be a story in there for Andy about excess baggage.
Now, I saw this title and I thought, oh my goodness, they're talking about how to get on an airline overseas.
I thought I was talking about Andy's back fat. I thought we're going to be moving that
awful
excess luggage. You know, no one wants to have that old crocodile thing.
You're only allowed to say nice things, remember? Right.
Well, it's a lovely alligator bag hanging off your back there, sweetie.
No, I need to learn about excess baggage in terms of airline baggage because I got duped about a week ago when I accidentally had a bit too much in my luggage and I had to pay an extra $60 just to get on the flight. That was not good.
And that was just the Glow Award.
That was it, yeah.
It's so heavy. The diamonds and gold and it dribbles off it.
No, this piece specifically is actually more about international students who travel to Australia to study or to live. And I guess some of the barriers they face when it comes to navigating their own sexual health, when it comes to HIV, or even accessing sexual health resources. And I guess one of the interviewees mentioned that that phrase about excess baggage, kind of saying, when I came from my home country to here, I came with all of this kind of baggage because in his home country, you know, it's quite stigmatized to be gay. So he didn't learn about how to look after his sexual health, about HIV. So he came over and basically was completely unaware. And it just meant that when he did start to encounter things like HIV, sexual health, STIs, he just didn't know what to do and it really freaked him out.
And then English wouldn't be your first language.
That's
then
the other thing,
so then you're suffering again. You're
language
right,
barrier, yeah.
That's very important, you're right, because that's the only way we're going to stop the spread of any STI is if we all know what's happening.
And if some people travel here and they don't necessarily have a network or support base, they might, you know, start to go to whether it's a gay club or a sex on premise venue. And if, like you said, if there's a language barrier, that also means they might not be able to communicate effectively, you know, about someone's HIV status or that kind of stuff. So I guess the premise of the article is just they're kind of like, I guess, an invisible minority in the sense that people don't recognise the extra kind of barriers they face when it comes to sexual health.
Well, that sounds really good. And I was thinking about it. I was talking about how I could smuggle an extra litre of alcohol through my travel case.
I have to say, though, you know, I've come across some pretty, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but some ignorant people here as well that have grown up here.
Excuse me. 100%, yeah.
Don't look at me when you say that.
I didn't look at anyone in this room, but you know, and probably through no fault of their own, but their experience, their life experience, but don't necessarily know a lot and have a lot of fear and prejudice.
That's it. I actually think, I mean, even though work by organisations like Thorn Harbour Health and ACON in New South Wales is invaluable in terms of spreading important messages, I think sexual health, STIs, HIV, these kind of buzzwords, people hear them and kind of think, oh, this is really scary, I don't even want to really engage with it, so they don't educate themselves. And so I guess, with World AIDS Day more broadly, and in the lead up to it, hopefully it provides the opportunity for people to kind of look a bit deeper and think a little bit more about how they look after their bodies and their sex lives, sexual health, that kind of stuff.
And then you get to talk to the director, Joel, of Boy Erased.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton. So have you guys seen the film yet?
We are going this weekend.
I believe
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he plays the creepy conversion guy, doesn't he? I saw the picture and he looked typical in that brown suit and the glasses.
He does. It's obviously, the movie's obviously based on a memoir, so it's a real story. And the as you mentioned, the character that he plays is kind of the leader of this conversion camp. Which fronts as like this medical professional thing, but it's not. We spoke to Joel about, making the movie and being a part of it. And also, I guess its timeliness, given even in the last couple of months, you know, there's been so much talk by politicians in Australia about gay conversion therapy and the need to eradicate it. So I guess the movie has added weight and significance now more than ever, particularly in Australia, given, what's going on in our political climate. And if Joel Edgerton isn't enough to entice people to go along and see it, Troye Sivan's in it as well.
Really?
No. Yeah, Troye Sivan.
Does he throw a little bit in? I didn't see that bit.
Yeah, it's a minor character, but he is in it. He's one of the...
I just saw Russell Crowe eating a bucket of chicken at the back. He had about six buckets of chicken, didn't he?
Matt, I've got a plug here. We have a very exciting show coming up.
Okay.
But we can't say what it is to celebrate the one-year anniversary.
Yeah, we can say what it is. We're just going to keep our guest secret.
Yeah, we're going to keep our guest secret.
That's really exciting. Actually, that's next week.
Correct.
Ah, that's exciting.
Yeah, okay. Very, very exciting. Anyway, you cover it in the magazine.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Obviously, a lot of people, I think, for that date. So this is not the date where the legislation passed. It's the date when the postal survey result came out and everyone said that yes was triumphant. I think that day for a lot of people, I guess, elicits mixed responses because some people, that was quite a hard time, going through all that crap. But I think that moment specifically was really nice because it was when everyone was really together and celebrating the fact that the majority of Australians said that we should be allowed to legally marry.
It was the first time I cried in 11 years.
Wow.
Really?
Isn't that strange? And it was an overwhelming of emotion. Because we're standing down there at Town Hall, at 2 minutes to two, I was convinced I was going to come back. No, I don't know why. I thought, get yourself ready to be upset. And when it came back, yes, it was just this weight.
And it was a mixed feeling, wasn't it? Because it was sort of like, I was excited. It was fantastic. It got through. But at the same time, I thought, we're just being judged.
Well, that's it. That's why
people think they are. They've just judged us. And it was a real mixed emotion.
I think you're right. It was great in one sense, as you mentioned, because it was nice that, we made this happen. Like, everyone really campaigned really hard. And I don't even mean the hardcore advocates from, say, Australian Marriage Equality. I mean, everyday people campaigned in their own little way, whether it was speaking to friends or family.
By talking to family, exactly. Talking to your neighbours and actually getting out there. For a long time, as a gay person, we arrive at work, do you walk through the front door and go, hello, I'm gay?
Yeah, no.
But finally it was a time where I think people in a workplace discussed who we were and why it was important to us.
Exactly, and that's why I think that moment, the 15th of November, it felt like and it's something that we had all achieved as a collective, as everyone in the community really played a part. So we really wanted to mark it with this issue by putting in a few different things, I guess, to help celebrate it. One was from... an extra is actually an excerpt from a new book called Yes, Yes, Yes from Alex Greenwich and Shirlene Robinson. Yeah. And they've kind of written a piece which is in the magazine about kind of the behind the scenes stuff about the campaign, which is quite interesting because I know a lot of people would have seen what was outside, like in the advertisements and things like this and the media campaigning, but it's kind of interesting to read, you know, how that all kind of came together and the behind the scenes stuff. And we also had Christine Forster, who many people would know as Tony Abbott's sister, write a piece as well, which was quite personal and heartfelt about how, I guess, this 1 year anniversary over this past year, I guess, you know, everything has changed, but also nothing has changed in the sense that it's amazing that we can now have this legal right that we should have always had. But for all those people, the no voters, I would say, who thought, oh, if we have marriage equality, everything's going to fall down. Well, has anything fallen down? Has anything impacted their lives in any way? Has anything bad happened from it? No. So,
well, we all say no. Yeah. But have you ever read any of their articles?
True, yeah.
And then all they've done is just thrown the hate now at the trans community, children who... Yeah, we won't go there,
but we are waiting.
Yeah. Your monthly music page looks interesting.
Yeah, so each month, Pop Chops, Andy and Dan, they put together a page basically highlighting cool music of the month, some pop culture moments, things like this. But for this month, I think because one of the members of Pop Chops had recently gone through a breakup, he thought he might put together a list of the top five kind of breakup anthems for queer people, but specifically relating to the five stages you go through when you break up. So, for example, denial and anger and acceptance. And things like this. So, yeah.
You live on that Egyptian river denial, don't you? You're always in denial about
something. Always in denial, Tom.
Always scroping up that Egyptian river. Yeah.
But it's fun. I think a lot of people, I mean, I'm for myself as well, like music really can get you through some of those hard times. So it's kind of cool to, you know, think and talk with your friends, like what's your kind of go-to song if you're feeling down or something like a breakup has happened? Like, I guess, yeah, do you guys have one?
What's yours, man?
I don't know if I have a go-to one. I'm just trying to think. When I looked at the list from Pop Chops, I was thinking the first song that comes to mind is, do you remember Khalees, like the singer who did that Milkshake song from My Milkshake Brings All the Boys?
Yeah.
Not that song, though.
Yeah. Is it a breakup song?
No, but she has another song called Caught Out There, which was kind of minor, kind of popular, and it's where she's like screaming, like, I hate you so much right now, and that's like a really empowering. I love that song. It's probably my breakup song.
What's yours? All mine are Kylie. You know, my life is a Kylie song. That's just what it is. I wake up to it.
That's it.
Have you listened to Golden? It's a whole bloody breakup song. Denial starts at one end, and she cries to despair to the end. Yeah.
Well, I thought of My Ex, and I reckon You're So Vain.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
Oh, that's really nice.
Or Kygo, Remind Me to Forget.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two.
There's heaps. Wait, I'm curious. I know Kylie's vague discography, but like, does she have like a definitive like breakup or sad kind of song
On the new one, we played it early this morning. Yeah. It's called A Lifetime to Repair. If you break my heart again, if my heart gets broken, I'll never recover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's okay. The music's too sad. There we go. Andy's going to start rattling it off. Yeah.
So November issue is out now. Where can we get it, Matt?
So you can obviously pick it up at all our usual distribution points. Joy is, of course, one of the main ones. Hares and Hyenas and Fitzroy. And you can look on our website for the remaining distribution points. But you can also read it online as well.
Thanks,
Matt. Correct.
We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Wake up with Tom and Warren. Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.